Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world, because it is toxic out there. There are a lot of consumer products that contain toxic chemicals that we're exposed to every time we use them. There's a lot of toxic chemicals just in the environment. When we walk out the door, people have sprayed pesticides on their lawns, and there's car exhaust, and people are, well, wearing perfume, for one, which is the subject that we're going to be talking about today. But we don't have to be exposed to all these toxic chemicals, because we can recognize where they are. We can avoid them in many ways. We can remove them from our bodies. We can remove them from our homes and our workplaces and live healthy, happy, productive lives. Do whatever it is we want without being affected by toxic chemicals. It's our choice. We do have choices that are toxic free. Today is Monday, August 19th, 2013. And as I just said, our subject today is how to be fragrance-free, creating a fragrance-free life. And I've been living without fragrance, without anything scented, no scented beauty products or cleaning products or anything, for 30 years. And the reason that I gave up fragrance many, many years ago was because I discovered that if I was exposed to something with a synthetic toxic fragrance, that means a perfume or a fragrance that's made from petrochemicals, and I'm not talking about something like essential oils made from natural plants, I'm talking about synthetic, artificial fragrance made from, in a lab, from petroleum. And I noticed that when I was exposed to that kind of artificial synthetic scent, that I would get a headache. And when I stopped, when I looked around and I said, well, there's scent in this and there's scent in that, there's scent in my soap, there's scent in my hairspray, there's scent in my cleaning products, and I just went through my house and I removed everything that had any kind of scent, scent in my perfume, of course, and I removed anything that had any kind of scent, and I stopped having headaches. And ever since then, I just have been scent-free. Now, I do, for many years, I have been using natural fragrances. But many people who find themselves sensitive to scent can't use any kind of scent at all. And so we're going to be talking, my guest today has created for herself a fragrance-free life because she's found that scents make her sick. And so we're going to talk about how she did that. But first, I want to just read to you something from the CDC. You've probably heard that on the news. The CDC says, and that's the Centers for Disease Control. It's a U.S. federal agency. And this is what I'm reading to you is from my Green Living Q&A blog at greenlivingqa.com. And it was from September 14th, 2010. I wrote that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has made a fragrance-free policy that applies to all of their offices nationwide. They issued the policy, quote, in order to protect and maintain safe indoor environmental quality. And that day, I just said, hallelujah, because that means that the Centers for Disease Control, and this is the agency that is working with toxic chemicals and causes of disease, and is trying to figure out what is making people sick, and is a public health agency that is trying to keep us well in America, they determined that fragrance was an indoor air quality issue and that it so much causes illness that they made a policy not to allow fragrances in any of their offices nationwide. You can go to this post and you can see everything that they banned from their offices that had fragrances. And this was to keep their workers healthy. Now, if you own a business, you might consider having a fragrance-free policy. If you work at a workplace, you might consider having a fragrance-free policy. So that's just something to think about. It's not somebody's imagination. It's not a particular sensitive group of people. Fragrances are toxic chemicals, period. And now I'd like to welcome my guest, Alana Shaw. Hi, Alana. How are you?
Good morning, Deborah. I'm awake, which I was concerned I may not actually, that I might sleep through the call.
No, I don't think you will. I'm in Florida.
No, I meant that I would oversleep.
Oh, yeah. Alana is in California, so it's 9 o'clock there for her. It's noon here for me. So anyway,
Alana has been talking about
what she's doing to remove toxic synthetic fragrance from her life. And she's a writer and editor. She lives in Northern California. And she utilizes her background in theater, film, television, and appreciation of nature in her work. So, Alana, tell us your story of how you became sensitive to chemicals and what has happened since.
It was quite a long journey and kind of a mystery for me, but I'm really glad that you mentioned the natural ones as well. That's been part of my journey. I am sensitive to every scent, synthetic or natural.
Okay.
I'd say about 19 years ago, I started noticing that my deodorant and shampoos were very problematic for me. A lot of people would notice rashes. Like, it's so funny now. Everything is so obvious to me now. People will say, oh, I've got this rash on my neck, and I'm looking at their hair and smelling their, you know, all of their hair products. And, you know, I don't want to say anything because I don't want to offend anybody, but it just would be so simple if they would switch their products. They wouldn't have to go through that discomfort.
Yes.
And for most people, that's all it is discomfort. But some of us, we that have MCS, multiple chemical sensitivities, and other allergies and asthma, things like that, it's a more serious issue to the point where I had to move out of the cities. I've lived in cities most of my adult life, but I've always loved nature. And so it's not such a bad trade-off. So I now live in Northern California, and I pursue nature, which is
I did that as well.
Wonderful.
I moved from San Francisco. I moved out into the country, and now I live in suburbia in Florida. But it's in a very natural suburbia. I live in a oak forest, and the breeze comes in off the Gulf of Mexico.
I love the Gulf. I was there for a little while. I used to track the pollution drift on the EPA site, and I decided, oh, the Gulf Coast would be a good place to go. So we went there, but then I didn't know about red tide.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a bit of a shock. For people that don't know, it's basically, what is it, the plankton? I've forgotten now. It's been a number of years. They die. I guess that's part of the nitrite runoff from all of the pollution from yards, mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah.
And then all of the fish. It was horrible walking on the beach and seeing seahorses in person, but they were no longer living.
I haven't had that. What part of Florida were you in? Because I haven't had that here. I've been here for 12 years.
I was south. I know where you are. I was north of Naples, south of Sarasota.
Okay, yeah, I'm a little bit north from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I was right on the beach, and it was wonderful after being in L.A. I thought I was in heaven. It was every morning I would get up. I did actually get up in the morning, and I would walk on the beach. It was my way of getting my lungs to work again because it got so bad in L.A., I basically was sitting in a chair. That's how I spent my days, which was crazy because I was super athletic, a world traveler, and the pollution was so bad. And to me, fragrance is the same thing as pollution.
I agree with you. So we need to take a break, but after the break, we'll continue to talk about how you created a fragrance-free life. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and I'm here with my guest, Alana Shaw. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Alana Shaw. We're talking about creating a fragrance-free life. I'm looking on my website here, and I noticed that in my Green Living Q&A blog that I have over 60 questions that people have asked on subjects having to do with fragrance, everything from fragrance-free workplace policies to finding specific products that don't have fragrance in them. I also, on my website, on deborahslist.com, have many, many products that are specifically fragrance-free. So if you type in fragrance or fragrance-free or perfume in the search engine on my website, you'll get a lot of information and a lot of alternative products. You can just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and use that search engine box there to get all that information. So, Alana, there's a lot of toxic chemicals in these perfumes. Where should we start? I don't even know where to start.
Yeah. Well, the way that I actually figured some of my puzzle, my life and health puzzle out, was a chemical patch test at my allergy and asthma doctor's
and what
office.
Tell us, what is a chemical patch test for people who don't know?
Well, a lot of people go through allergy tests where they kind of like prick a whole bunch of little spots on your arm or your back, and then they monitor it while you're in the office. And whatever little bump swells up the biggest, that's what you're sensitive to or allergic to, and there are differences between sensitivities and allergies. So that's another confusing aspect of this whole thing. But the end result is your life is still kind of turned upside down. So this chemical patch test, if I remember, it was like, it's kind of big, maybe 6 inches across and 6-inch square, say. And it's the kind of thing where you have to wear it for 4 days straight. You cannot shower. You can take a bath just so you don't get it wet. I actually went into my doctor's office in Beverly Hills, and he put it on, and then I had a meeting, and I was still acting then, and it was kind of an important meeting. I was really nervous. It was a big part, and I really wanted to get back to work, and I went to my agent's office, and he was an agent at one of the big agencies, and I go in there, and I'm all excited. I have this stupid patch on my back, but I'm going to keep going, and I walk through his office, and in L.A., a lot of people do the kissy-kissy thing on the cheeks, and he had on so much fragrance.
Yeah.
And I've had long hair most of my life, and long hair is basically a giant Swiffer, and fragrance sticks to things. It's like a sticky molecule floating through the air, but it was actually on him and transferred directly to my hair. My brain short-circuited. It's kind of an autistic-like reaction where it's like sensory overload. Your brain kind of stops, the synaptic connections kind of stop working, and of course, allergic asthma, which at that time I didn't know I had allergic asthma. We were still figuring it out. So then I'm standing there disoriented, and he leads me into the meeting with the director. That was not a good moment. I really, thankfully I had an improv background, and somehow my mind was coming back, but I really was not on my game, and it was a turning point for me. I realized this was going to be next to impossible to continue as an actor. I did struggle with it for years. I didn't want to give up my dream. I love the craft. I don't really like the business, but I love the craft of acting. But that was my turning point, that patch test. When it came back, I was basically allergic. The fragrance mix, which is what you were talking about, this toxic soup of mystery elements that the government basically protects these special recipes.
Well, I actually have some information about that.
Good.
That I put on my blog, and so I want to tell people about it. There's, if you go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and you type in the search box ingredients and fragrances, it will take you to a page about the International Fragrance Association. Mm-hmm. And what they do is that they review all the ingredients and decide which ones are acceptable and which ones aren't. And so they have a list of prohibited ingredients, a list of restricted ingredients, and you can also find out from them what specific chemicals are in the fragrance of a specific brand name product. Now, that's not
really
something that's listed on the label, but you can go to them and find out. The part that was appalling to me was that I looked at this list of acceptable fragrance ingredients, and there were many that I recognized as toxic, such as styrene, the same styrene that's in styrofoam cups, mm-hmm. ethylene glycol, phenol, which is extremely toxic, benzene, which is extremely toxic, xylene, which is an extremely toxic solvent, formaldehyde, which causes cancer. And some of these chemicals are among the most toxic chemicals that exist and have long been on my list of things to avoid. And yet they think that they're okay to use. Now, later in the week, actually on Thursday, we're actually going to have a toxicologist on the show, and we're going to learn more about how toxicology research gets done. Because I look at one list and another list, and I have studies about things that are toxic, and yet I see an association like this one saying it's okay to use this in our products. So if you're wearing perfume or any kind of scented product of any kind, these are the kinds of chemicals that are in there. And it's
what
just
people overlook most, I hate to jump in here, but
go ahead.
Laundry products.
Yes.
I did my most recent blog post on laundry products after an overload at the laundromat, which I avoid like the plague normally, but people have no clue about their laundry, what it smells like. They because once they put it on, they don't smell it anymore.
That's right.
You know, you get used to it.
There's something called olfactory fatigue, which
yeah.
means that you can breathe something once and you smell it, and then you continue to breathe it and you smell it less and less and less. And I think that this is why people wear so much perfume and aftershave, because they can't smell it anymore. We're going to take another break, and we'll be back to talk more about living fragrance-free. I'm Deborah Lindad. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Alana Shaw. And you can go to her blog, is alanashaw.com, and read about her adventures finding fragrance-free products. Alana, tell us about, you've written several blog posts on this. Let's start with the bath products. And when you started looking for fragrance-free products many years ago, how do you go about that process?
I'm my own test subject, and I spend a lot of money buying products and throwing products away. Masking fragrances, that's something that it kind of throws a loop into unscented, fragrance-free, scent-free, no scent. It's a very confusing world out there. I don't know, you might be better to clarify how a person really finds something that is without scent, but there is this thing called masking fragrance in
Tell
some
us
products.
About that. Yeah, there is.
I get a little confused because I think the marketplace is confused because people use the labels interchangeably, but you basically have to, just like you read the ingredients on your food packages, which I'm hoping most people do that, you need to do that with your products for the bath as well.
You actually need to do that for all products, because scents are, for some reason now, it's even worse than it's been in the past, where the manufacturers are adding scents to all kinds of things. And so what you want to look for on a label is certainly anything that says fragrance, that's going to be a synthetic fragrance. Just leave anything that says fragrance on the shelf. It might also say perfume, and that also means that it's synthetic. If it has a fragrance and it's a natural fragrance, it'll say aromatherapy or it'll say essential oil, and those would be from natural sources.
I do have a question about that. For me, I can't use those at all. But for the people that can use essential oils, I've been reading lately that there are essential oils that are supposed to be organic, but they are actually synthetically manufactured. So it's
that's
little tricky.
That's not supposed to be that way. An essential
okay.
oil is supposed to be from a plant. But it is entirely possible that there are some people who are not following those rules. And so I don't know if there's actually a law that says this is what essential oils means, but for many, many, many years, essential oil has meant from a natural source. And if it's organic, it would say organic on it. I think I should just interject right here that even though labels can be confusing and maybe misleading, there is an agency of the government, the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, which has regulations that say what you say on the label has to be true. And if it's false or misleading, the FTC will fine you or take your product off the market or something. That there's supposed to be, you know, like a code of honor of telling the truth. And yet many, many, many people don't. I mean, the FTC is citing people all the time for making false and misleading claims. So
well, thank goodness they're there for us.
Thank
some
goodness
people may
they
not.
Are there for us, and thank goodness
yeah.
the law is for those. But the problem is, as with many things, that there's so many violations, they can't catch everyone.
Yeah.
They just don't have enough manpower.
And, you know, people starting little shops, I mean, they may be doing things wrong and not realizing it. It may not be malice. Who knows?
That's but true. There's an awful lot that people don't know about toxics and ingredients, and they just think things that sound good, and they don't understand it at all. So I would say
the marketing.
Yeah, it's just marketing. And I see this all over the web, too, is I'll go to a website and they'll be saying things and I'll go, wait a minute, I know that this is wrong. But their marketing people don't. And so this is why we as consumers need to be so careful. And I would say that if you do want to use natural fragrances, not you, Alana, but
yeah, I can't use them.
Listeners.
Well, I take that back. My one natural fragrance is going out and getting fresh air and getting that through my hair and on me, and that is always the best scent ever.
I totally agree with that. I'm going to finish what I'm saying, and then I want to say something about that. That if you do want to use natural essential oils, get them from a reputable organization. And if they are reputable, they'll tell you all about where they got them from, and some of them grow their own herbs and plants and things. And so just watch out. Don't go to like here in Florida, we have something called the dollar store where everything's a dollar. I would not
yeah, if
buy
it's a dollar,
it's a dollar store.
It's not real.
And who knows, they may be from China or something. But there are a lot of good aromatherapy essential oil products.
Yeah, and they're very the people that make them are very proud, and they're more than happy, like you said, to share every tiny, tiny detail. They're very, very proud of their products,
right.
Which is wonderful to have pride in what people make.
Now, getting back to fragrance as an indoor air pollutant, it is very... I had a woman on last week or the week before from the American Lung Association, and we were talking about the importance of lungs and the importance of breathing for good health, and that when we breathe indoor air pollutants, of which perfume and fragrance is one, then it actually damages our lungs and it makes it more difficult for us to breathe, and that impacts our health. And that's in addition to whatever other health effects may happen from the toxic chemicals that are contained in those fragrances. But you have exactly the right idea, because going outdoors in a clean air place and breathing that clean air is one of the most healing things anybody can do. And I know that you live up in the Sierra Mountains near Lake Tahoe, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the air...
Well, for now, I move a lot. But I'm going to stay in Northern California, I think, for a while. It's a wonderful
air
area.
It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The air is wonderful up here. Well, there are fires right now,
yeah.
Which that's probably the easiest way for people that are not fragrance sensitive to understand fragrance sensitivities. When there's a cloud of smoke, everybody kind of gets that it's hard to breathe, and it gets on you, and it's really unpleasant. And for people that are fragrance sensitive, that's what they're, all of these fragrance trails that people, as you walk down the street, if you have clothing washed in, I hear music.
Yes, but you can finish your sentence.
It's just like the smoke. We can tell the fragrance just like regular people that are not MCS can have problems with smoke.
Yes. And we'll be back after this. My name is Deborah Lynn Dan. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. We're talking about living a fragrance-free life with Alana Shaw. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today we're talking about creating a toxic free life with Alana Shaw. And Alana, during the break, we didn't end up talking about masking fragrance, and I just wanted to go back to that for a minute. During the break, I looked that up online just to make sure that I got the definition of it right. And actually, what a masking fragrance is a fragrance, which is a chemical fragrance designed to block the odor of other chemicals in the product. So it is considered to be a fragrance.
Yeah.
And if you go to, it isn't necessarily on the label, but if you go to the Material Safety Data Sheet, or MSDS for short, it says fragrance on the material safety data sheet. And the point of an MSDS is to alert people to the toxic chemicals that are in a product. And if fragrance is listed, it's a toxic chemical. So
those sheets that you mentioned, a lot of people, including myself, are intimidated by them. But it's something to get friendly with because there's so much good information there once a person can really understand what's being offered.
It really is something that I think that every single person, they should teach in school how to read these things. In fact, there should be a whole thing in school that teaches kids about toxic chemicals because we live in a toxic world and they should know how to read these things. What you want to do is if you wanted to look for a particular product and find out if there's any kind of fragrance in it, you would just go to the to your favorite search engine and you would type in the name of the product, XYZ laundry powder, and then put the letters MSDS after it. And then a site will come up where the manufacturer has put the material safety data sheet for that product. And then you just click on it and you go look at it. And there's a section that says hazardous ingredients. And they're required by law to list these hazardous ingredients. Now, they don't have to list all the ingredients that are hazardous, but there is a list of quote unquote hazardous ingredients that are the agreed upon hazardous ingredients that need to be listed on these sheets.
At least it's a good lead. It's something for us to work off of. For
me, smart, you know.
Yeah, for me, the ultimate test for me, since I'm sensitive to so many things, is I really just have to try it. Sometimes a product will work for a week, and then I develop an issue. It can be dermatitis. It can be breathing issues. Just general unpleasantness, a whole host of issues. But I have to just trial and error. But it does help to have these leads.
Right. That's exactly right. I do want to make sure that we just say for the listening audience that there's a difference between something being toxic, like in a toxicology book, versus somebody having an individual reaction to it. And when you're having your individual reaction, and we all can have our own individual reactions, that's different from like doing a study and finding out all the rats died. And in my work, I have to not be looking at people's individual reactions, but looking at what do the studies say. And, you know, if I can identify from studies something that's toxic, then nobody should be using it. And yes, Alana and others have their own individual reactions to perfume, and fragrance, but, and they need to test just like Alana does. But I can't stress this enough. Fragrance, artificial fragrance, synthetic fragrance is a toxic chemical. It's on material safety data sheets. It has been declared by the Centers for Disease Control as an indoor air pollutant, as a toxic chemical. And so it's just something that if you want to remove one toxic chemical from your life, just go around your house and identify all the scented products that are in your home and get rid of them.
And if I could interject, take a look at your pets, their reactions. They don't have voices, but a friend of mine used to use that carpet spray stuff that mm-hmm. to make the carpet seem clean. And the cat would always run and hide behind the TV stand because that was the only place that that carpet stuff couldn't be applied. And the cat would just stay there. Yeah. The cat was very uncomfortable. Animals know what isn't healthy. And we can take, if we just watch some of our pets, don't walk your dog when they've just applied pesticides. Don't spray that stuff on your carpet and then put your pet right on there. I wouldn't use any of that on my carpeting anyway. I wouldn't have carpeting if I have a choice.
I haven't had carpeting in 30 years, so I don't have any of that stuff in my house. But also, just keep in mind, here's another thing about pets and children, is that their bodies are so much smaller than our bodies are. Even the biggest dog is a lot smaller than an adult human body. And so they can't tolerate the amount of things that we might be able to tolerate. So we do need to look at these things objectively and know where the toxic chemicals are and don't use them in our homes. Because even if we're not being affected by it, our children and our pets most likely are. They just don't have the same immune systems and the same detox systems, and it's just a sheer volume of more fragrance that their bodies just can't handle.
If there was any way I could impress on people to be aware of marketing and get what you need, but you don't need all of the fragrances and everything. Even if you love fragrance and you have the most expensive bottle of fragrance in the world, realize you're undermining that wonderful scent with all of these inexpensive, horrible scents that are permeating every other product you're buying.
Yes. Yes. You know,
so go unscented and then put in your nice, light, lightly applied, high-quality scent.
Yeah. Yes. One thing that I often think about is that I forgot what I was going to say.
I've got some things I want to say.
Go ahead. You talk.
My solution, because I walk around this world and I dodge these clouds of perfume, but there are a lot of people that are supportive. You can find work environments if you let people know that you're sensitive. After a car accident, I ended up going to work on the Drew Carey Show. Even though I'd starred in movies, I was background, extra. I do small parts, just utility parts, stand-in for a year and a half. That was basically three different seasons. Because the environment was supportive, Kathy Kinney is sensitive to scent. I don't know to what degree. I never actually spoke with her about it because I was too shy. But the work environment was supportive. Nobody there wore strong fragrance or strongly fragranced products. So find a place that's healthy for you. Don't try to make an unhealthy place work. Think about the long term. Do you want to have asthma? Do you want to have other issues by having long-term exposure to these things? When I share my story with somebody, if I'll be standing in line at Starbucks or something, there's fragrance, and I'll say something to the woman, you know, at the register. She'll go, "Oh, me too." Or if I'm at another store and somebody walks by, somebody else will say, "Yeah, me too. I have this problem, but I can't get out of the store. I have to go outside and get fresh air when I can." Try to share with people. There are supportive people out there. Sometimes people aren't so nice because they don't understand. They get offended. but I'm not trying to attack somebody when I say I'm fragrance sensitive. I think that's a really important point
because if we keep continuing to be exposed to toxic chemicals on the job and say, well, I have to do this because I have to work and earn money and all workplaces are like this, you know, I have found in my own life, I just decided that I needed to create my own work and my own money because I couldn't go work in an office or a store or something like that because I didn't want to be exposed to toxic chemicals. I mean, I was extremely sensitive at the time, but I ended up empowering myself and creating my own work and helping others and making more money than I would have if I had worked for somebody else. And it just, for me, deciding to rid my life of toxic chemicals opened up a whole new world of being able to be in a safe place, but also having control over my life and being empowered to make my environment the way I wanted it to be instead of just being victim of somebody else's environment.
Everybody can do that. Yeah, it's an excellent example of being brave and just walking through a new door that opens. We have them throughout life. That's what life is. It's one door closes, another opens. That is life. And when a strange door opens and you don't understand, you know, do some research and go through it.
I completely agree with that. I mean, I just see in my life that life has been a constant new opportunity to open doors, and that things get better and better and better. So just have that courage. Alana, thanks so much for being with me today. This was so interesting.
If I could mention something real quick, please check out my blog site for mydestination.com. It's my solution to recharging my lungs.
Good. All right, thanks. We have to go. But thank you for being with us, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow.